This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1917. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, short and medium wave. On this edition, recorded February 13th, Argentina, Armenia, Bonaire, Canada, Cayman Islands, Chile, China, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Germany, Iran, Japan, Korea South, Kurdistan, Mexico, Nigeria, South Carolina, Turkey, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. 5 weeks after they were scheduled to start, I've confirmed that the RAI Argentina relays in German and Italian via WRMI have finally started, heard February 12th and 13th between 19 and 21 UT on 9395. That's Monday through Friday only, of course. Meanwhile, Alan Rowe in the UK confirmed that the relays via shortwave service in Germany had already been running at 1000 UT Tuesday through Saturday, reconfirmed February 8th, on 6005. In the new DX Listening Digest, number 18-07 via worldofradio.com, there's a lot of discussion about Transworld Radio Bonaire and their new high-power transmission on 800 kilohertz. The details of it, what are the azimuths, the antenna patterns, and the various power levels used in different languages for different targets. It's operating much like a shortwave station, which isn't always the same throughout the day on a certain frequency. In International DX Digest, the National Radio Club, Robert Vance in El Paso, Texas, says he heard it February 1st at 0240 with religious talk and inspirational music for Cuba in Spanish and ID as Radio Transmundial. Has anyone heard that other ID that was reported in the press? But he says the bottom dropped out at 0300 with a pattern change to the south. It was the prevalent, if not dominant, signal before the pattern change, and his local XEROK was nulled. Yes, that used to be a 150-kilowatt station in Ciudad Juarez. Currently, it's rated at 50 kilowatts, but for the past few years, most of the time, it's obviously been at much reduced power. In fact, I've been trying to hear it when Bonaire would not be heard, like around our sunrise, and still no trace of it. Mauno Riddle says, according to TWR Bonaire, there may be slight changes to the schedule, but it should look like this. From 2130 to 23, to the Caribbean in Spanish with 50 kilowatts. 23 to midnight, to the Caribbean in English, raised to 225 kilowatts. Midnight to 03, Spanish to the northwest, meaning Cuba, at their full power of 440 kilowatts. Then at 03 to 05, Spanish to Caribbean reduced to 225. 05 to 08, more Spanish to Caribbean reduced to only 100 kilowatts. From 08 to 10, back up to full power for Portuguese to Brazil, 440 kilowatts. 10 to 11, Spanish Caribbean, 225. 11 to 12, down to 100 kilowatts for Spanish to Caribbean. And for the final half hour at 12 to 12:30, down to 50 kilowatts. Wolfgang Büschel guesses that the 50 and 100 kilowatt segments in Spanish to Caribbean are non-directional. Via Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener, the CRTC has approved an application by the CBC to reduce the power of CBU 690 in Vancouver from 50 to 25 kilowatts. This is required due to damage sustained by a recent fire, but they say this should result in a similar coverage area, especially since they're also on FM 88.1. They have 2 years to complete the change. Here's a way to DX the Cayman Islands on medium wave, well known already to those specializing in NDB beacon DXing, but I ran across it quite by chance in a band scan February 12th at 0724. On 415 kilohertz, the beacon ID is CBC, not to be taken as Canadian. It's at Cayman Brac with 1 kilowatt. In Chile, at least, one can still hear the Chilean low-power, dare we say, pirate on 5825. Claudio Galas is reporting it to the Condish list, February 7th at 2300 to 2330, Radio Triunfal Evangelica, with Pentecostal music. Greetings and devotional starting at 2324. I suppose they're not on the air much later into the evening. It's a very difficult catch in North America. In BCDX, there was quite a discussion of alleged DRM tests from China National Radio, the domestic service from Beijing on shortwave. They were to start January 29th, but not clear how long they might continue. The schedule given was 2025 to 02 UT on 9830, 02 to 0730 on 17565, and 730 to 1805 on 9830 again. This was publicized at the DRM website. Wolfgang Bischel points out that the DRM-capable transmitters in China are actually being used for jamming from a number of transmitter sites. Victoria, BC seems to be a hot spot for medium-wave DXing, transpolar from Europe and beyond, at least to the receivers of Nick Hall Patch, who reports his results almost every evening to IRCA. For example, on UT February 12th, he says the Egyptian powerhouse on 864 kHz is delivering Quranic singing to Victoria since 0251. Sounds similar to the remote receiver in the Ionian Islands. 864 was knocking down the walls at 0348, but that was its swan song as local sunrise approached the Nile Delta. It was gone by 0409, the loudest transatlantic I've heard in quite a while. We continue to hear the voice of the broad masses of Eritrea intruders in the 40-meter hamband. February 11th at 0515, I had the one on 7181.55 with some talk and drumming. But the other one was not on the air at that time, 7140. I've also heard traces of them after sunrise here by Long Path, which of course is much better for Ron Howard in California at Asilomar State Beach. February 12th, he was hearing number one on 7140 at 1528 without any jamming. And number two was not heard at that time on 7181.52. But the next day, February 13th, he was hearing both of them at 1428. And jamming didn't start on 7140 until 1508, when it was also being heard on the other frequency. That's DRM-style jamming from Ethiopia. Ron Howard also reports one of the many clandestines for Ethiopia, Radio OMN, Oromia Media Network, February 12th at 1600 on 11575, but hit by strong white noise jamming at 1603. Its other frequency nearby had been 11600, but it was off the air on this occasion. These are transmitted via Bulgaria. Alan Gale reminds us that Channel 292 in Germany, 6070, is planning on two special tributes to European Music Radio and the late Tom Taylor. Sunday, February 18th, at 0730 to 09 and 1430 until 1600. Besides those broadcasts from Egypt, Nick Hall Patch in BC reports to IRCA he's also hearing jamming from Iran on medium wave, 1575. Occasionally quite strong. That's against Radio Forda, transmitted from the other side of the Gulf, from the UAE, 24 hours a day. As far as we know, the Iranians do not bother to jam the several shortwave frequencies of Radio Forda. Mark Conley in Massachusetts adds he hears that jammer on 1575 every night. It's a buzzing sound. And on February 12th at 0239, Nick Hall Patch in BC says he was not only hearing the buzz jammer, which was providing good reception, but underneath also he could hear Radio Farda quite poor, seemed to match the web stream by about 10 seconds after it. Ron Howard has been noting the absence of the low-power experimental propagational research station in Japan, JG2XA, on 5,006 kHz. Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo explains it is off the air. It has been inactive both on 5006 and 8006 kHz since last summer due to transmitter trouble. It had been operated by Professor Ichiro Tomizawa of the University of Electrocommunications in Chofu City, 25 kilometers west of Tokyo, using an amateur 200-watt transmitter. The station is licensed until June of 2022, but it will be difficult to resume because Mr. Tomizawa is retiring from the university this year. Ron Howard has been monitoring the clandestine from South to North Korea, Voice of Freedom, especially interesting February 9th at 12:36 on 5920, because they had live coverage of the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Korean, French, and English. There was the usual North Korean jamming, but it was still fairly readable with a strong signal cutting through the jamming. At 13, they went into their own programming, still about the Olympics. Maybe they got the coverage from KBS. He was hearing it again on 5920, February 12th. Very good reception, as late as 1612 with no jamming. And on February 13th, they changed frequency again to 6045, the first day back on their former frequency. Fair at 1110. There was interference from CNR at 1212. At 1506, a strong carrier. And their audio resumed at 1600. But the jamming was still on the former frequency, 5920. In the NASA flash sheet, Anker Petersen in Denmark reports the clandestine for Kurdistan, now called Denge Welat, via transmitters in Armenia, on 4810, February 6th and 8th, signing on around 0325. It starts with men, women, and children shouting, and then at 3:31, a military song mentioning Iran. Over here, 4810 is a tough frequency due to utility interference. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports another frequency of Denge Welat via Armenia, 7520, February 12th from 1000 UT, and he says it was in French, a strange language for that Kurdish clandestine. Anguilla continues to be sporadic on 11775 and 6090 at night. In our late evenings, if you hear something else there, it's probably Radio Amhara in Ethiopia. But there has been another African on the frequency, Kaduna, Nigeria. Wolfgang Bischel says that one has not been heard since last reported December 17th by Roman Pankov in Bulgaria. And when it was on the air, it was considerably off frequency, 6090.94 variable. At Sesku a year ago, it had been on the low side of 6090. Since, as I mentioned last week, it was missing Saturday and Sunday, February 3rd and 4th, I was wondering if Radio Herva International via WRMI 11530 at 1930 UT was really on the air Monday through Friday only. But on the following weekend, February 10th and 11th, it was back on the air. I don't know whether it had continued on the air every day on the other frequency via France, which is very weak here, 9580. South Carolina non, as of February 10th, we were hearing Brother Scare on the other WBCQ frequency, 5129.82, at midnight 27 UT instead of 9330. Apparently there were some problems with the higher transmitter, which may also affect other programming there, like World of Radio. Brother Scare, in fact, was announcing that he's now on the air 24 hours on 5130. That's a slight exaggeration, as we are still hearing Area 51 programming at its usual times on the weekends, including World of Radio, UT Monday at 0400. And 5130 does seem to be on the air all day with BS, but it's no use this far away. And guess what? Peter Hansen reports that the latest update to the WRMI schedule February 12th shows Brother Stare is back on that station on a different and limited schedule, 02 to 05 on 5850, 01 to 04 on 7730, 17 to 20 on 7780, and 15 to 18 on 9395, where I did manage to confirm that toward the end of the broadcast, February 13th. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 1917. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, which also brings you the non-commercial weekly publication, DX Listening Digest, available free online. Thus, our thanks for voluntary financial support this week from Jeffrey Wolf in New South Wales, who sent a contribution via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. It seems we cannot depend on Voice of Turkey to follow a predictable schedule for a non-weekly program, their letterbox. Alan Rowe in the U.K., who keeps close track of it, says it was heard on Friday, February 9th. Contrary to expectation, that would be an off week. So the next edition, in 2 weeks' time, would be on Friday, 23 February. Wolfgang Büschel says TRT on 17530 worked overtime. It's scheduled only at 05 to 06 UT, but it was hearing it 13 hertz above frequency, February 10th at 0700, after the Hausa program and then the Swahili service was starting. 17530 was originally registered at 0500 as in English toward Southeast Asia, but that was never the case. It's really in Malay. Ivo Ivanov says, in fact, Voice of Turkey has added three new languages recently, Malay at 05 on 17530, Hausa at 06 on 15235, and Swahili at 07 on the frequency supposed to be used, 15235. The sloppy raiders at Emerlair often fail to change frequency on time. So you may well hear the wrong language on a known TRT frequency. Wolfgang Büschel also suggests that these new languages are for Erdogan's privileged Muslim target areas. Earlier under Germany, the transmitter site, we had some info about a European music radio tribute to the late Tom Taylor, and now under UK non, we have more information from Mark via Mike Barraclough. The first special tribute program written and narrated by Steve Silby and produced by Mark Stafford is Saturday, February 17th on 3975 and 6160, alternating during the day from mid-morning UK time. Then Sunday, 18th February on 6070 between 08 and 09 UT, and Monday, February 19th, 3975 and 6160 again, alternating during the day from mid-morning, various repeats during the week. Absolute Radio is one of the powerhouse stations with multiple transmitters on 1215 kHz, no doubt the source of some of the stronger transatlantic carriers we pick up. WRTH says all their transmitters add up to 540 kilowatts. Now receiving a lot of press attention is a request by them to Ofcom to reduce their coverage from 90% to 85%, roughly, in the UK by turning off a number of transmitters. Or is it just reducing their power? In the British DX Club, Chris Greenway says the five sites where there would be a power reduction are all of the main ones, Brookmans Park, Droitwich, Moorside Edge, Washford, and Westerglen. It's a proposed 3 dB reduction, which amounts to halving the power. It just doesn't sound so dramatic for the layman. 05 UT is one of the best times for us in North America to pick up BBC World Service off beam, where they're intentionally broadcasting not for us, of course, but to Africa. I band scanned and found I was getting them on five different frequencies, 5875, 5925, 6005, all from Ascension, 6190, and 12095 via South Africa. The lower ones best, of course. Steve Lewis in Houston, Texas, agrees that's a good time to listen to BBC. Just about every week now, it seems, we have an obituary for someone well-known in the DX or radio field. And this week, it's RIP Stuart McKenzie of the American SWL Club, who was born in 1933 and has just passed away. Clara Lissenspreken, who has been in contact with his wife, Evelyn, on Facebook, says this. He had been in the hospital for a week, and just when he was about to be discharged, he experienced complications. Was sent home with hospice care. I know his absence leaves a large hole in the shortwave radio universe. Thanks to Stewart, Clara launched as the ASWLC's answer to NASA's Charlie Loudenboomer back in the day, and I will not forget that. And then other tributes to Stewart McKenzie have come in. Here are some of them. Greg Hardison in California says, very sorry to hear about the loss of Stewart. He was always beyond enthusiastic about promoting and supporting DXing in every way possible. I remember how he paid special attention to my kindergarten-age daughter, making her feel like a VIP during our visits to the ASWLC annual picnics back in the early 2000s. Ken Zicke in Michigan says, I've passed word to fellow ASWLC editors Harold Froge and Pat Rady. And does anyone know how to contact Canon Shunmugam? He was a well-known lawyer in the Washington, D.C. area. Walt Salmon, even B.C., says, another great has gone to the great beyond. Stewart was one of the first names I encountered when starting in the hobby during the late 60s. He was quoted for years on DX Party Line. Bruce Churchill in California says, the old guard is going the way of DXing, it seems. I remember going to Stewart's home in Huntington Beach in 1967. I really enjoyed interacting with him and was a member of ASWLC for a number of years. And Bob LaRose in California says, I hadn't heard about him for many years, but in the 60s, during the heyday of the ASWLC, we were in regular contact. I only got to meet him once in 1969. I was always impressed by the countless hours he spent in his dedication to the club and the hobby. Via Artie Bigley, ARRL reports that a radio amateur has been named as the next president of Harvard University, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, Lawrence S. Bacow, B-A-C-O-W, K-A-1-F-Z-Q, of Brookline, Massachusetts. The home of W-1-A-F is Harvard University, selected among a field of 700 candidates. He will take office July 1st. Glenn Swiderski in North Carolina says, good news for Greenville. We're getting three new transmitters, new to us. The removal of the original Continental 420A, Doherty 500-kilowatt transmitter has started with GB3. I think they're coming from Sri Lanka, the station which has been closed down. They are en route. Continental 419F transmitters. Don't know when they'll arrive, but there is hope for Greenville after all. As a matter of fact, three transmitters for Greenville are mentioned in the 2019 budget proposals for the Broadcasting Board of Governors. Steve Luce has been looking through this large document and summarizes the three newer transmitters are for Radio Marti broadcasts, and the Poro Philippines site is to be closed this year, if not already. There will be more consolidation at the Kuwait station with additional transmitters and antennas. Big cut to operational budget of Radio Marti, but more sharing of resources with VOA Spanish, so there may be more frequencies, but cuts in programming. And further phasing out of shortwave operations, except for areas where, quote, shortwave is still relevant, unquote. Also large cuts in radio to the Mideast, more emphasis on social media. Vague proposals on closing more shortwave transmitter sites, but no specifics. It's a 140-page document. VOA PR, via Hans-Jörg Biener, says Greta von Sustren is now doing a program for Voice of America called Plugged In, airing live every Wednesday at 15:30 UT on Facebook, and multiple airings via satellite, but no mention of shortwave. You may recall she used to be on CNN, Fox News, and briefly on MSNBC. Also a story about this in The Hollywood Reporter. Thea David Cole says she's doing it on a volunteer basis, which I guess means she is not being paid. President Budget eliminates public media funding. This, he wants to eliminate funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The lobby protectmypublicmedia.org urges us to write our senators and congresspersons, urging them to vote against cutting funding for the CPB. You can find a letter to that effect, which you may send on at protectmypublicmedia.org. Among the points they make, the federal investment in public media amounts to $1.35 per American per year and represents 0.01% of the federal budget. Eliminating funding would have a negligible impact on our nation's debt, but a devastating effect on our community. Without federal funding, local stations could be forced to go off the air or cut essential programming and services Americans count on. These are too valuable to lose. The major annual gathering of shortwave listeners and DXers in North America is coming up March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's the 31st annual Winter SWL Fest in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. You can read all about it at their website, www.swlfest.com. CIDX Messenger says the Winter SWL Fest is a conference of radio hobbyists of all stripes from D.C. to daylight. Every year, scores of hobbyists descend on the Philadelphia suburb for a weekend of camaraderie. Sponsored by the North American Shortwave Association, but it covers much more than just shortwave, medium wave, scanning, satellite TV, and pirate broadcasting. Many forums are being scheduled on different topics. One of the highlights this year will be a screening of the film Specters of Shortwave, an experimental documentary by Amanda Dawn Christie about Radio Canada International's towers in Sackville, New Brunswick. Images captured on film are accompanied by personal stories told by people who lived near the towers. For over 67 years, RCI broadcast all over the world. In 2012, budget cuts necessitated decommissioning of the site. The film is the winner of the Prix de la Vague Best Documentary Selection at the Atlantic Film Festival 2016. And furthermore, the producer, Amanda Dawn Christie, will be the banquet speaker at the fest. Other luminaries appearing are Dan Robinson, former VOA correspondent, who will be doing a forum along with Skip Airy of the Ham Radio Report. Once again, the website with all the information on how to register and the subject of the forums is www.swlfest.com. Via Wolfgang Büschel, Takahito Akabayashi in Japan says, Sony shortwave receivers will come to an end. Sony Japan declared in January they ended production of the ICF SW35. They also declared in February that they end sales of another shortwave receiver, the ICF 7600GR, at their online store. Probably they will declare the end of production soon. The ICF SW35 had been on sale since 2000 and the other one since 2001. This means Sony will completely withdraw from the shortwave receiver market. Sony does have two other shortwave receivers, but they're exclusively for reception of radio Nikkei tunable to only their six fixed shortwave frequencies. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field, quiet to unsettled February 15th through 18th, 20th to 22nd, and March 4th, with isolated active periods likely on February 16th, with A and K indices peaking at 12 and 4. Otherwise, mostly 5 and 2 or 8 and 3 through March 10th. Solar flux dropping from 78 February 14th to a low of 69 February 23rd to 28th and back up to 78 by March 4th. And so concludes another World of Radio, number 1917. Glenn Hauser hoping you've enjoyed the program and will make a point of tuning in again to hear me next week.